This show is
Sorry.
not for the easily offended, and show notice the explicit tag. If you don't like the curse words, fuck off.
I just thank God that there are people like yourself come out to see the American dream, because when I was growing up, I sure didn't think 265 pounds of blue-eyed soul would captivate a country like I have. The people drive me.
And welcome back to DSJMP WrestleCast. I almost slipped up and said the wrong show. This is where we gather with a like-mind wrestling fans, and we talk about wrestling, what happened in the week. There's a guy actually on this call who could do the speech a lot better than me, but he said, no, you host the show. I said, okay. So if I fuck anything up, it's your show, your fault, your ratings, and we're now going to sing the happy birthday song again. No, we're not. All right. We are going to start things off. We have Katie, the First Lady.
Hello, everybody.
We also have DRG.
I hate The Miz.
Same here.
And DRG and Katie are now gone from the call. We also have the guy who is, it's actually his show, but he's a panelist on his own show and he's not hosting anyway, Devil Vamp.
Hey guys, how's everybody doing this week?
I don't care.
I can see everybody doing great this week.
And we have Mott. Where are you at, Mott?
And I love The Miz.
Where are you at, Mott?
I'm at home.
You know, there's people out there that are really concerned about our whereabouts. And they think that we were holding hands or something.
What in hands that y'all were holding?
Mm-hmm. Oh, we met out of love for a reason.
Mm-hmm. They're holding right them baby
of,
arms.
Right in front of Hardy's, baby.
Mm-hmm. Matt Hardy. And he's listening in. I don't know if he's ever going to speak up and say anything. We also have Double A. And he's not going to say
thank you, Double A, for that great comment. We should just totally leave silences and just, like, include him, but, like, just leave
Joey Mercury of the
spots.
Show.
And we're going to start things off with Keep, Toss, and Improve. And I think before we do, if I take anybody's thing, I'm sorry, we will start off with not a moment of silence, but just, you know, it's maybe a reflection or anything of the passing of the American dream, or as it's been done on this show many times, the American dream, Dusty Rhodes, baby.
If you will.
If you will. It was hard times, baby. Like, I'm not a big Dusty Rhodes fan. Like, I mean, I just didn't grow up in that era. There's nothing against him at all. It's almost the way I feel about Ric Flair. Like, I have not that much that really gravitates me towards him, but the fact that, like Flair, he's just been in this business for a very long time. There is a deep-down respect, at least for me, that when I heard the news, like, I was like, whoa. You know, this he was just here not too long ago. He's always been fairly active on TV and everything with his son, so it just kind of, I don't know, that took me back. How did it make you guys feel?
Yeah, totally the same.
It shocked me. Big time it shocked me, I have to say. It actually shook me a little bit, because I was at work and I really couldn't believe it. I mean, he's an icon. He's a legend. He's a everything, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
He's Dusty. The last time we saw him, he was fine. He was talking to Renee right before WrestleMania. He was at the Axe Fan Access. And we saw him. Mm-hmm. He was having a good time with Renee. He looked good. He looked skinny for the first time. And I don't know.
It threw me for a loop, because I literally 3 days before saw a picture of Roddy Piper with Bobby Heenan, and I thought that Heenan was going to be the next person to go, but Dusty Rhodes was the reason why I was a fan of Magnum TA, or I was a fan of Sting or the Road Warriors, was because their association with Dusty. Growing up in the South, Dusty Rhodes was one of the, albeit all, greatest characters down here, because he was the common man. He wore Luckenbach Texas shirts to the ring. He was just a great figurehead in wrestling in this area, and it shocked me, really. It hurt a lot.
I think Bobby Heenan is just another story. I seen a video of him this week.
Oh my
God. I tried not to watch some stuff of him, and like it's really sad that one of the greatest talkers ever. Can't cannot talk for himself.
Man, Kat has shared that video on GroupMe, man. It scared the hell out of me. I couldn't believe that was Bobby Heenan. I could not believe it.
It does not look anything like what you remember the brain, the jovial, laughing weasel character was.
Mm-hmm. I hate saying it, but I want Heenan to die because it's hard. He is rough to look at. Like, I don't like to wish death on people, but it's just...
Well, and that was
very rough. Just very rough.
That was the thing, is you see Bobby Heenan and you've seen all the stuff that he's gone through in somebody like Dusty, who was so fresh in our minds as being maybe not the pillar of health, but not anything like that. He was, it was so heartbreaking to hear that news about him. But what was so awesome was to hear such the positive response from all the wrestlers who commented on just how much he affected their careers.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, in your boat, I mean, I didn't grow up as a huge fan of him. I became a bigger fan as I got older when I watched some of his older stuff, but he was just awesome. The promos that he did, I mean, he was relatable to people because he looked like everyone else. You know, he didn't have the best body or anything, but he was entertaining. He had so much charisma. Yeah, he had so much charisma. It was just, you could listen to him for hours. And the fact, like, he was still active right up to the end. He worked with NXT. All the NXT superstars said nothing but great things about him. And he just became a big mentor to them and stuff. So it was shocking to me because it was something I don't think nobody expected. It came out of left field.
And then, what was I going to say? I lost it. Anybody make anything else?
It is a testimony to the man's character, because like we were talking about before we got on the call, there wasn't many people who had burned bridges with Dusty Rhodes. He was somebody that everyone enjoyed being around. He was always enthusiastic and he was always energetic in dealing with people. And it's been that way for generations now. So for him to be gone, that person that has made such a unique mark in the wrestling business, when all of these people have died from drug overdoses and brilliant minds have gone away, somebody that has lasted that long with such a beautiful, wonderful career needs to be celebrated and remembered. And I'm glad that it was accepted by so many people. Yeah, it hurt, but people celebrated him on the day of his death. That was awesome.
And I think it's a major shout out to the WWE video packages and production team.
Mm-hmm.
They can make you feel whatever emotion they want you to feel. I think I go back to Warrior's death, that a video is supposed to make you cry and probably make you happy at the same time. Kind of like, it sucks that he's gone, but man, this guy lived a great life and all this stuff. Dusty, it was 100%, this is Dusty Rhodes. He has a great legacy and do nothing but smile.
His sons are his legacy too.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens with them going forward. I know Goldust, he is injured, and what will happen when he comes back. And then you have Cody Rhodes, a.k.a. Stardust, with his feud with Stephen Amell that everybody is so hyped for. What are they going to do? Some people, and I don't 100% agree with it, saying that he's going to go back to Cody Rhodes, kind of a Chavo Eddie thing. After Eddie died, he went from being Kerwin White to going back to being Chavo. I don't see that happening, but there's definitely probably a memorial match down the road for Cody and Dustin, one way or another. So
I think that will be Goldust's bowing out, his final moment to walk away and ride in the sunset will be that memorial match to their father and the feud that they do building up to it. I think that they keep Stardust in the role that he's in, because this character that he's playing is just a testament to what Dusty did, the character that he lived by virtually every second of his career was that common man. So to see Cody be able to transverse in so many different characters and succeed in them only helps to pay homage to his father's ability.
What was very ironic, too, and you might hear references throughout the show because of this. Last week when I posted the WrestleCast, I went into the settings and I expanded the RSS feed to go back. I think it can go up to 500 episodes. So I went back to some of the beginning episodes that I was on and all this kind of stuff. I went roughly a year ago. And some of the things that were said were amazing, but I think it was roughly a year ago, oddly enough, there was a segment, which there are a lot of segments that have come and gone. One was Character into Details, and we did Cody Rhodes.
Mm.
And we actually mentioned in Vamp, this is a conversation between me and you,
mm-hmm.
of what kind of legacy Cody's going to have.
Yeah.
I said, I don't think he's going to be higher than mid-card. You called me crazy.
Yeah, I did. I did call you crazy. Because I still think he has a lot in him, especially with the all out he goes for. I mean, I think everything I said at the time stands, honestly. I don't think anything that I said was crazy. And I think, now I don't necessarily believe that either one of them will be able to pass their father's legacy at all. That's not going to happen, I don't think. Although
that's not exactly fair.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it is fair. I'm just saying that, you know, I don't think that's going to happen. But I have to say, Goldust is and was one of my favorite wrestlers of all time.
Mm-hmm. I think you said that at the time, too.
Yeah, that was my, I mean, that was my age. That was my age. Mm-hmm. So.
See, Dustin Rhodes related. Is a...
What, Ma? What'd you say?
I said, and you related.
Yeah, and I relate to him all the time.
You're a cross-dresser.
I think one thing about Dusty that kind of needs to be said, I think when you think of the NWA Championship, there's a handful of names you think of, and I think he has to be one of the first ones in your mind. It's like, you can go, I think Ric Flair, Harley Race are up there, and also Dusty. There's not many others I can think of. Like, when I think of the NWA title, I think of definitely the legacy, because that's what the NWA title means anymore. It's not who has it now, which last I knew was, I can't even remember the last one I knew. I want to say it was Adam Cole, but I'm not even sure if it was Adam Cole.
Rob Conway, and right now it's...
Oh, yes, Rob Conway is... So, like, obviously, when you think of that title, you're not thinking of the current champion. You think of the legacy.
No, it's Tenzan. Tenzan from New Japan is actually the person who holds it right now, but you're right. Dusty Rhodes is the number two all-time NWA championship, and what's funny is Ric Flair held that belt God knows how many times. Dusty Rhodes didn't hold it that many times, but the runs that he had, especially facing the Four Horsemen, were iconic because of how much those segments meant. I mean, them breaking Dusty Rhodes' arm in that segment was so trend-setting and groundbreaking at the time. Yeah, it wasn't something that hadn't been touched before, but it was something that got everyone fueled into this feud between these aristocrats, these elitists in the Four Horsemen versus the common man. It just built and built and built. So those battles of Dusty versus Tully Blanchard in a First Blood match at Starrcade 86 had so much riding on it because it was this Wall Street style versus the common man, the middle class. It was so cool to see.
Anybody else got any final words on the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes?
Love you, Dusty. Thanks for all the memories, man, honestly.
Dusty rocks.
Dear G-Mup.
What else can I say?
Hard times, baby. Hard times.
Hard
times.
And let's get into Keep Tossing and Prove. And let's start with, you know what? We're going to start with Devil Vamp. Devil Vamp has never started.
I didn't know of. Yeah, I don't think I have actually started. I'm not sure about that. But my keep this week was the John Cena, the reaction from the crowd, actually. I'll take that. The reaction from the crowd with the John Cena-Kevin Owens match at Money in the Bank. Because that crowd was insane. The match overall, I think it had a little bit too many false finishes for my taste. It reminded me of kind of like The Rock and Cena at WrestleMania. But I will say that match had me, normally I'm like chilled out, relaxed on my couch. That one had me on the edge of my seat. And that crowd reacted to it perfectly. They had that crowd in the palm of his hands. And the ending, to me, was just great. I'll spoil it. He did the powerbomb on the side of the ring to John Cena. So that was perfect for me. So I want to keep that. Absolutely. I thought the match was great.
I got to agree. Definitely one of the... That was one of the matches of the night. There was two that were just, that one and another one that was opposite the main event, just that were outstanding. I think it has to do with the stories behind them, too, which just made them so great. And the rest of the pay-per-view, at least for me, was kind of, yeah.
The Cena and Owens feud, it's so remarkable to see somebody like Kevin Owens come up and come in as quick as he did and put into such a high-profile feud and make it succeed. I mean, can you think of the last time that some virtually unknown to most casual fans could make that big of an impact that quick?
It's absolutely fucking crazy. Still crazy to me how quick he has come up. In, once again, like, going back to listen to old episodes, because I started roughly with episodes a year ago. I mentioned in an episode being like, oh my god, like, one of my, like, best of the week was the rumor that WWE is signing Kevin Steen. Devil Vamp's reaction goes, who's Kevin Steen? And then, like, I and I explained it, and now I'm thinking, like, a year later, I'm thinking, like, yeah, wasn't that great fucking news?
Yeah.
And all this shit.
I remember that conversation because I was like, really? You don't know Kevin Steen? And then I made fun of him for not knowing Pat Patterson was gay.
Yeah.
That was roughly around the same time, too.
Love you, Vamp.
So, yeah, okay, that was your keep. What was your toss and improve? Or improve?
My toss was the Money in the Bank match. The Money in the Bank match didn't have that ooh and ah with it. I mean, I know a lot of people are going to say, like, Brock Lesnar coming back or whatnot on Raw, but whatever. But the Money in the Bank match really wasn't that. It wasn't one of the memorable ones. It didn't have that crazy high spot. The only real spot that I can remember is Kofi being powerbombed in the corner on the ladder. That's pretty much it. I mean,
I think it's the equivalent of, I can't remember what year it was. I think it might have been one of the Punk years when MVP, no, Matt Hardy interfered. Like, I can't tell you many spots off the top of my head, but, like, that's, like, one of the ones that stood out, that Matt Hardy came and interfered and attacked MVP.
I think that was WrestleMania 24.
That was SummerSlam, Katie?
WrestleMania 24.
WrestleMania 24.
2008.
Who won that one?
Punk.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's why she...
I thought it was a Punk
that
one.
That totally explains why she knows.
No, she's a wrestling encyclopedia. That explains why she knows.
I mean, the spot, the crowd was really over on Bray Wyatt messing up Roman Reigns. Not sure why that is. They were really taking a shit on Roman the whole night. I don't know why. But
because they didn't want to see him win, and he was the guy that everybody
thought was going to win. Yeah, I really think they're doing that now just to fuck with people, honestly.
I'm kind of getting that way too. The funny thing is, there was some idiot in a chat room. I won't say what, but he was like trying to say, like, I believe Roman Reigns didn't really need to win it and all of this stuff because he doesn't need to win because he didn't need built by it. I'm thinking, Sheamus won. Does he need it?
So was this guy? Would you say he's solo on his own?
No, and it's not that he's solo. He kind of has a medical balance. Some people might say he's insane, maybe psycho.
A little psycho.
Maybe a little psycho. Maybe a little psycho.
That's cool, D. Moving forward.
All right, Katie, keep tossing number.
Well, it's funny, we're talking about Roman Reigns not winning and going on with Bray Wyatt, and it's actually my keep because I like the promo Bray Wyatt cut on Roman Reigns and the fact that he brought up his daughter in it and it made it more personal. I like when storylines bring a little bit of real life to it. It makes it more interesting. Now, I'm not sure if they're going to bring her involved or if this was just a weak thing because it said Father's Day is Sunday, but I liked what happened and it made me more interested in the feud.
I'm kind of so-so on it. It depends on how far they go. I just don't want it to be another Dominic.
Yeah, that's
Dominic,
what I was
Dominic,
with
yeah,
Ray
Mysterio. Yeah, which, I mean, granted, it did create a great shirt, the I'm Your Poppy, but...
Can you think of a good time where they've actually used a child of an actual wrestler? Because the only one that I can think of is Sandman Raven, where they actually used family members and it played into the story well.
That's one of the top ones. If a kid's ever been used, like, on camera, it's never been anything big. Like, I know Goldust's daughter, Dakota, she was used on camera as a little kid once or twice.
I mean, Bray,
the funny thing is,
Bray Wyatt did the thing with the kids before with Cena's feud. He brought all the kids out and stuff.
That's
but
true.
Not like actual.
Yeah. Fuck. When I come to think about it, Dominic was used twice in a memorable spots. There was the whole I'm Your Poppy thing, which, I mean, that was one of the bigger of the two. The other one was CM Punk singing Happy Birthday.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
To his daughter, nonetheless.
Oh, that was to his daughter.
Yeah,
it was to Dominic.
Yeah,
that was...
To Shell.
Yeah, that was such a great thing. I love when... It was another great thing about the video package people, the production team, because they took him singing it, and then, like, towards the end, they started slowing it down, giving it really creepy music. Oh, that's to me, like, I remember that video package more than the actual thing, kind of thing. All right, Katie, what is your toss or improve?
Well, I guess I'll use this as an improve because I know more could happen to it, but the whole Paige trying to get the Divas together, it seems like they're building towards a girl from NXT debuting,
yeah,
and helping
imagine
her
that.
Out.
It seems like, yeah, imagine that. She said it on freaking SmackDown. She seems like they're building to somebody helping her out. Imagine
I thought it was going to happen. It made it seem like there was building up, but I guess they're going to hold it off for another week. But to me, it could have came off a little better. I don't know, but I'm going to wait and see on this one.
At this point, I hope that it's Bailey and not Charlotte.
I hope it's Sasha.
Just to piss off Bam.
I don't think it would be Charlotte.
The promo was misleading on SmackDown, is all I'm saying. That's what I got it from. I got it from the promo that she made on SmackDown saying, if you can't, I'm tired of the bells running, if you can't change your own view, you can't change the world, then if the world won't change and you have to make a change or some shit like that. It just seemed like she was going to pull somebody from somewhere. And I figured it was Charlotte.
They did a similar thing on Raw with all having the meeting.
Yeah, that too. That'd be the perfect time for Charlotte to show up.
I don't think it's going to be Charlotte.
We're building towards somebody.
I think Charlotte's going to come out like on her own. I don't think she's going to come out with someone. Whereas a Sasha would come in out to help Paige.
If you're pulling anybody from NXT, it's going to be Charlotte.
I'm thinking that.
No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Yeah.
You can't
Charlotte that much on NXT anymore. She's not on it.
You can't.
I mean, sure, like she used to be.
You can't make a case for anybody else, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That was more convincing than Charlotte.
Yeah, Mop, because why would you pull Sasha? Sasha's a big time heel on NXT.
I don't even look at it like that. I look at it like she's the champion.
Yeah, that's
they
cool.
are not. They're not going to do the Paige thing all over again.
She's going to stay down there for a little while longer, I think.
Could they pull Becky Lynch? Her style fits with Paige pretty well.
Yeah, you're right. If
they did it anyway, they could go with the history between Charlotte and Paige, at least saying I used to be the NXT Women's Champion, and this person was the next one.
She had to vacate the title when she came up.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to bring Charlotte up as her own entity.
I agree with that.
Okay, who do you think this spot's for then?
That I don't know, but I just think that when Charlotte comes up, they're going to play up the Flair angle, and it's going to be her, not with anybody else.
At this point, Charlotte is one of the only ones NXT built enough to debut on her own. Banks could, but Banks isn't in the position to do that right now. They need Sasha down there.
If you put in Banks, I think it has to be some way related to Naomi. whether it's this person's my protege, or we're the same thing, so we're going to clash over it.
I don't know. It could be any of the other ones. That's one of the best things about it is that we can't nail it down to say what it is or what it isn't.
The one thing that I did notice with the Divas talent meeting, there was one Diva missing.
Natalia.
Natalia.
Yes. I don't think they're going to go that route.
Natalia was there. Natalia was there.
And that's the thing that gets me, too.
I didn't see her at the meeting. She was on the pay-per-view.
No.
She was watching the screen.
If I'm correct, Vamp, you mean she was there in Cleveland?
No, she was in that whole scene.
I don't remember seeing her in the scene.
I was looking for her, and I did not see her.
She was there. She was
trust me, I was looking.
Okay, I believe you. I'm going
to rewatch this.
All right, go ahead, because I saw her.
I'm sure you weren't thinking Tamina.
Yeah, no. Tamina was on the left. Next to Naomi, and then Natalia was way over on the right. She was closer to the TV screen.
I thought
Eva was next to
King.
I don't know what happened.
Anyway, like I was saying.
Kate said, fuck it, let me finish my point.
Natalia wasn't there.
I don't know. I'm just going to try to look it up on YouTube. I don't think that might have been the reason why the call crashed. But I was going to look it on my phone. I don't think that...
The only one that I remember was there was Summer Rae.
Because I was paying attention to who all was there, because I was figuring maybe an NXT Diva would pop up, and obviously when the Divas were shown, I'm going to be looking for Natalia.
Did we find out if Natalia was there or not, or no?
She wasn't. You were wrong.
I disagree with DRG.
Somebody needs to just get a screen capture of who was there.
I know if you go to the WWE's YouTube, you can find it. You can probably find that segment. It's weird. They had that whole licensing thing, they can't post Raw as a whole on the network for a month. But they post almost every segment, not really as a whole, but they post a lot of the show on YouTube.
I got that.
In segments.
Mute, man.
Kids are in the storyline.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if it was that or DRG.
It wasn't me. My kids know. I threaten them within their lives.
Yeah, mine too.
Mine too.
Yeah, I don't blindly poison them with Benadryl. I actually threaten mine.
You know Andrew's not listening.
Oh, he's not? Damn it.
I get my niece Jack Daniels.
Niece Jack Daniels?
And she's like, no, that's your nephew. Like, isn't one of them like a year old?
Yeah, that's my two nephews.
Yeah.
So are we all in agreement that we think Charlotte might be the one to come help Paige with Bella?
Yeah, I think you're right, Katie.
No. I agree
also,
with you.
I think I'm right, too.
I think you always think you're right. Mop, you sound far away.
I haven't changed at all.
Why do you, I don't understand why you disagree, Mop. Like, that's the
because
most...
I think they're going to bring her in on her own, as her own individual thing.
Didn't Paige and her have a relationship before they left?
They were feuding.
They were friends, right?
No, there was no interaction because Charlotte was in that tournament.
And it was Natasha and Charlotte.
That was Ray. Summer Ray was part of the beautiful clique or whatever it was, the BFFs.
I don't remember that far back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was. You're right.
I forgot about the BFFs.
It was Charlotte, Summer, and Sasha.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because Charlotte joined, like, towards the end, right? Or was she part of the beginning? I don't fucking remember.
Oh, I just found out who was in that.
Who was in the meeting, Katie?
It was Summer Rae, Layla, Rosa. Natalia wasn't there. It was Emma.
Yeah, pink Emma. Sock chick.
I still think I'm right.
But
I still think I'm right.
Natalia's busy helping her husband heal.
But the thing is, I know she was there.
Yeah.
No. She's busy.
No.
She's busy backstage watching it on TV.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because like I'm fairly certain she was there in Cleveland. So why they didn't use her? No idea.
They probably have nothing planned for her.
Because
like
mommy didn't need to be in the meeting.
Well, I was thinking that maybe it was because of Tyson being injured, but wasn't she on SmackDown?
She was on the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
She was the very first girl standing on the left side of the TV monitor when they went to it.
Yes, she was there. That was true. So, like, why they didn't use her?
It's hard to miss her pink fucking streaked hair.
You know why they didn't use her?
Pink sock, though.
You know why they didn't use her? Because they don't like her heavy. They just don't like Natalia.
They didn't have a role for mom.
If they didn't like her, she wouldn't be on her contract.
Mm, that's not true.
There's reasons why she's there. I mean, how they book her, I mean, that's a different story. I mean, they don't. If they didn't like her, she wouldn't be on TV. She would be Emma.
Emma's actually in the process of rebuilding. They just don't like Natalia because she's been there for how long? She's going to have to do what Beth Phoenix did and actually leave in order to make a difference. I'm going to get booted here in a second.
No, I see what you and Mop are both doing, and I'm kind of ignoring.
Wait, why me? Well,
she's not gonna leave. She's not gonna leave. That's never gonna happen. Unless that was
she's
just a bait.
A loyalty kind of person.
Yeah, exactly. She's gonna be in that forever.
Look at the Hart family in general. I mean, if you take out Brett, they didn't have a whole lot of success.
But they were
with the company forever.
You also got to figure the Total Divas thing is why she's still around too.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I was just trying to get under heavy hands.
Oh, I know, and I was.
I honestly think
you were too. Don't play innocent because you.
Oh no, I've said that forever. I think she's the mom of the group.
Yeah, but then like you made sure you popped in the comment one more time. Yeah, I know.
I got it in the third time too.
Yeah.
Natalia is probably one of the best female wrestlers that they have on that roster. She just doesn't have a character that they can run with and promote.
What actually could be a big hindrance for her is the fact that she is on Total Divas. Because she's a nice person, so that's how she comes off on the show. They have her as a face because it makes sense. Do you want to turn her heel? Technically, they tried.
Mm-hmm.
But in the ironic twist of fate, Cesaro and Kid got over, and they flipped them as face. So it's like, well... You're a face too.
So you're saying Jeff Hardy's back in WWE, the twist of fate?
I was waiting for the Jeff Hardy reference. Hardy reference in general, I thought it was going to come from him. But anyway, DRG, what is your Keep Tossing Improve?
Oh, I want to improve EC3 attacking Kurt Angle in that match because EC3 needs to be champ.
Biohazard is not here.
I know, and I don't care. EC3 needs to be champ, and he should have taken Kurt Angle out and just beat the living piss out of him. I understand why they didn't do it because it would have started a feud with Austin Aries and all this other stuff. I just was wanting more from that. And since it's TNA, I won't go any further into it. I don't expect any comments back from it. But my toss is fucking Grado and Mojo Rawley and any other person that is fucking idiotic and doesn't need to be in the wrestling rings right now. I hate seeing people like... It's not that Grado isn't a good act. It's not that Mojo Rawley doesn't fit in a certain realm. Seeing them on mainstream television... is not where I think that those people are best utilized. To me, Mojo Rawley is is a less impressive Eugene at this point. At least Eugene, Nick Dinsmore can fucking wrestle. Mojo Rawley is a waste of fucking talent. And I feel bad for Zack Ryder at this point. I really do.
There's always like a bunch of people within WWE, whether it be the main roster or NXT, that I'm just going, I just think, yep, you're not going to last.
Oh, no. They're going to keep him around for a while because of his connections with Gronkowski. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's the biggest problem is I hate doing this because I don't want to be that judgmental person that, because I'm sure somebody out there somewhere likes them. It's just, to me, that's fine if you want to have that comedy relief act. He does his hammer time, whatever. It's annoying to me, and it's not. There are so many other better comedy or entertainment style wrestlers out there that if they had the shot or had the chance to be put on mainstream, would be much more successful than Mojo fucking Rawley.
I think, going back to what you said earlier, you and Mop are really underestimating the power of WWE. Yes, there's the connection with Gronk, but that doesn't make you immune in WWE. They'll find other people.
Oh, no, they'll just give him a million fucking chances before they'll do anything.
Well, you gotta look at it this way. They gave JTG 7 years of time without doing a damn thing with him. They could find a reason to keep paying the motherfucker.
That JTG thing must have been something. It must have been some kind of contract, something or something.
No, I know what it was. No, they needed somebody to work house shows that could fucking lay down and get beat. That's exactly what he was there for.
Pretty much.
He was this generation's Barry Horowitz.
Exactly.
Instead
of hiring outside people to be jobbers, they hire them, put them under contract, and then if they choose later, they can build something out of them.
The one thing right now is we haven't had the summer layoffs. Last 2 or 3 years have had, like, all right, we start to get in the summer months. They're like, all right, we're cutting people. You're gone, you're gone, you're gone, you're gone.
Well, there's a lot of rumor that they want to start a third tour. So if they want to do a third tour, they can't lay anybody off.
That is the other part I was going to get into.
Have you heard the rumors about this WWN network with WWE wanting rights to everything that they produce and air on that network? Basically Watch Wrestling Net or whatever it is that hosts Evolve and Ring of Honor pay-per-views and stuff like that. It's something that you find on Roku's. From what I understood is that WWE is trying to get exclusive rights to it, which means that at next point they're not going to be able to have outside people unless they're willing to sign a contract and waiver that all of that footage is WWE archived for, like, I think the reason why it came about that somebody said was due to Kevin Steen's action figure with Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do that, they're going to virtually kill a lot of the indie stuff where they're pulling talent from right now. So what I'm curious about is if summer layoffs or something is coming about next, those people that are going to sign the places that they're going to, they're going to have to sign back with WWE.
Yeah, I think it was a Bleacher Report update or something about, but it sounded more like WWE was trying to make a deal to put some stuff on the network. It doesn't sound like they want to buy them out because it's owned by, I'm pretty sure it's owned by Gabe Sapolsky, which he did that to run his Dragon Gate shows.
Yeah, the Evolve.
And Dragon Gate, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know they're trying to get, rumored to get Evolve as another developmental territory.
Well, that's what I was kind of thinking, is if they were going to have some sort of a deal where they help fund Dragon Gate and Evolve to help funnel into NXT.
Yeah, but that's them breaking the ties.
It's all speculation.
Yeah, that's them breaking the ties with Ring of Honor officially. But you look at the people who've been on the last several Evolve events. You've had Davey Richards. You've had Drew Galloway as their champion. You've had numerous talents from Ring of Honor in Evolve. If they were to do that, those people aren't going to be in Evolve anymore, if that makes sense.
If they could be, why wouldn't they be? OVW still had, when they were WWE, they still had outside people come in.
Right, but nobody that was signed to a TNA deal. Nobody that was signed to a Ring of Honor deal. They had big names
at the time, but yeah.
They had big names that came in, but they also didn't air those on a pay-per-view platform. I mean, it gets into a lot of like audio and visual rights and exclusive rights type deals. That's where it gets sketchy.
I don't think it's like they're going to have a deal with WWE where, well, you can only have WWE talent. It sounds like it may just be, here's some money, so, you know, you work with these people, you train them, and then when time comes, we'll just take what we want from you, but you can still run your company however you want.
And possibilities.
It's all speculation.
Oh yeah, for sure, 100%. It's curious to me because like Evolve is somebody that I've said whoever, be it Ring of Honor or TNA or WWE, needs to get in bed with because Sapolsky does great work there. That's where people like UHA Nation and Sami Callihan did some of their last work before signing with WWE. I just don't want them to get into a situation where it becomes an exclusive rights type thing. Like, I guess with the way that they're working with Ring of Honor, it could be different, but
I was just going to say, I don't think there's any ties with them in Ring of Honor anymore. When Ring of Honor went to the new system of pay-per-views, whatever the hell it is, I'm pretty sure they cut ties with them.
Most likely.
I think if there's been ties between them, there's been nothing like...
It was a loose stuff. It was like, well, here's some money, put this up, you know, kind of.
I would say it was a watered down ECW WWE relationship. Because WWE flat out, Vince flat out gave fucking Paul Heyman and ECW money and all that kind of shit. And they actually did the one night only invasion storyline back in the early days of Raw, which I vividly remember. But fucking.
Well, don't forget that connection between Heyman and Sapolsky.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Well, with ROH and WWE, it's kind of more or less they have history, business history, and that's pretty much
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They bought, was it Daniel Bryan's some video from Ring of Honor?
And CM Punk's as well.
Yeah, Punk is the one I'm remembering.
Yeah, Punk was the big one because technically Samoa Joe made his debut on WWE, probably what we call programming or whatever. On that DVD.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt Keith Tosser Improved. That was a talking point that I had been wondering about and just wanted to bring up on the show. I apologize.
All right, Mop, Keith Tosser Improved.
Actually, I've got several keeps, but let's do improve on Dolph Ziggler's. If it's gonna go 90s heavy metal rock star, go 90s heavy metal rock star. I want full hair, like poof up and everything. Yeah, just all in. I want it all.
Did he spell Megadeth wrong on his jacket?
No, that's how it's spelled.
No. There's an article online from Money in the Bank to Raw, the patch changed.
Mm. Oh, see, I saw the one on Raw. I didn't see the one on the pay-per-view.
Yeah, it was actually spelled death on Money in the Bank. There was an article. Actually, it was the metal magazine, like, Revolver that was talking about it. And there was, all these tweets where people talking shit about it, and they went and changed it. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, how do you buy the wrong Megadeth patch?
Somebody probably made it and didn't know how to spell it right. Because he probably wasn't a fan of Megadeth.
Is he a fan?
No. I think he's a fan. I don't think it's someone made it. I think they ordered it.
Yeah, they probably ordered all of those. It's. I don't see them having the equipment on the road to make an iron-on patch.
On the lady who does that kind of stuff, she might. But, I mean, it's so much easier just to, spend a couple dollars and have it sent to you. And I don't know if he ordered it and gave it to her or what. Or it's... Who fucking knows?
And what?
But, I mean, they got a change within a day. Something tells me he knew off the bat, but wore it out anyway.
Yeah, and like then, it was too late to change it.
No time.
Yeah, because I know a lot of people are saying, the fans, made him change. I'm like, yeah, I mean, unless he went to Hot Topic, he was like, oh, shit, fucking, I know where all the malls are in Cleveland. Better stop and pick one up.
He's not an idiot. I'm pretty sure the fans didn't have to tell him. And what does it say on the back of his trunks? It's something your head.
I don't know. I'm not looking at it.
I couldn't make it out. I don't know what it was.
I think DRG's right. Bang your head.
So he is going full 90s heavy metal.
I wish he would go full 80s heavy metal. It'd be a lot better.
Well, 80s, 90s, whatever.
He's going hairband.
Speaking of bang your head, he needs to stop doing that.
Dude, he's going more heavy metal with Megadeth and Judas Priest, and that's not hairbands.
No, it's not hairband, but
I think he should go comedian. I really think he should incorporate his act into a comedy.
If you start going down that road, you're going to horseshoe him into R-Truth's type role and Santino's type role.
I think there could be a new position that he positions himself into, sort of like the rapper John Cena was towards the end, where he was just making fun of his opponents rather than taking himself so seriously at the beginning.
Now, I think I want you to I want you to think about this. Mm-hmm. Vince McMahon is still making these decisions.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you really think he's going to be willing to change
and let a upper
mid-card, lower main event type guy be a comedy act?
No, Triple H would let him do it. He would let him at least experiment with it first, but no, you're right. He won't do it. It'll just be poop jokes and dick
exactly.
jokes.
Yeah. Oh, you gonna pee on somebody.
I will say that, like, people shit on comedy acts, but there's nothing wrong with it.
You can make
a very good living at it. Like, I know when the tryouts came to talk recently, I'm a big fan of them signing Chuck Taylor because of all the people there, he is great at comedy. And then there's people like, well, he could be more than that. I'm like, no, he's good at it. He can make a great living on it.
Know your Let's vocal that. And do it. He's good at comedy. Let him be good at comedy.
Primetime Players, they're comedy. They're doing good.
Yeah, and really, The New Day is kind of comedy. Actually, that was going to just go. I'll just go ahead and throw it out there. My keep of the week or whatever is R-Truth not knowing he was in the match at commentary on Raw. That was fucking awesome.
R-Truth in general the past week.
Oh my god, he's been so
fucking
good.
Hilarious. Like when he came out dressed as a king, I literally laughed.
With a white sheet and a fucking paper crown.
I said it was
and the plunger.
What Barrett wore on Sunday.
And the plunger.
Boy, Barrett looks pissed. I'm glad I'm not the guy that's going to be up against him next. It was.
Oh, me?
My bad.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, though. What Barrett was wearing Sunday was, that was ugly.
See, that's the difference, though. There's good comedy, like you're saying with Chuck Taylor and some of the other people out there. Like, the Beaver Boys. If you watch the match from Pro Wrestling Guerrilla's, Don't Sweat the Technique, Beaver Boys versus Best Friends of Chuck Taylor and Trent Beretta is hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. The comedy wrestlers like freaking Mojo Rawley and Grado need to stay the fuck away.
I give Mojo time on the comedy bit. He wasn't a comedy act before he got hurt. So he's still new to trying to do the comedy stuff. So give him some time there. But
Grado kind of... His finisher was a flying butt press.
No, dude, they were taking him seriously.
What's so wrong about Grado?
I love Grado. He's so...
I like him a little bit, but what I've seen of him in TNA, I
thought it was funny. What's that exercise where they jump over
parkour.
Stuff?
Parkour.
he was doing parkour and he was trying to jump over something. I thought it was funny.
It makes sense on the UK tours to bring him in an X Division tournament to crown the new X Division champion. Putting Grado in there is just not the right fit for him. If that's the case, and they bring Grado in for this X Division tournament, what the fuck did they sign freaking Mandrews for?
So, okay. So was it the wrong idea to have Santino be the next to last person eliminated in the Royal Rumble that year that happened?
No, but that's the difference, though, is Santino as a character is much funnier and more interesting than what Grado is. Grado is still brand new and idiotic.
I like him. Keep him. That's my keep.
I mean, I haven't really watched TNA that much, but I caught that little clip of him, and it was like, yeah, but it's TNA.
He was trying to cut weight. He had a heat suit on. I want it. I like it. Keep him.
You know, the funniest part of that segment was Brian Stifler's face in the back going, what the fuck is this guy doing?
I mean, I like the American Grados better, which are Cole Cabana and Dick Justice.
Dick Justice is a fucking hilarious. Him and who's the other Hawaii 5-0 crew? There's the big badass dude that's Dan something or other, and then his partner. They're a tag team on the indies, and they're hilarious. And when Dick Justice added to that tag team, that trio is hilarious.
Devil's Allen. I only know Dick Justice.
I'll have to find something. They've been in CZW lately, and they had Dano, the big guy, had a match against Buicks or Buo or whatever his name is. If you've ever seen this guy, he is the dirtiest, nastiest wrestler you've ever seen. He will go around the audience and get the audience to spit into his hand and then put it in his mouth. So seeing this big old cop character watching this guy and like throwing up in the ring at his antics and every time, it's hilarious.
That's disgusting.
Have we been to everybody?
Pretty sure we have.
We do you.
We do you.
Well, I was making everybody else. Let me see. My keep, toss, and improve. I'm surprised nobody mentioned... Or unless I'm ruining some of the best of the weeks. Kevin Owens on Raw in general.
Damn it! Oh, wait, no, I'm just playing.
I am a fan. Well, thank you. I am a fan of MGK. I know a lot of people who aren't, but I still love that. And his match with Dolph Ziggler. I mean, that was fucking Dolph Ziggler and Kevin Owens, my top two favorites right now. If I could have got Marion Fontaine to be the referee, it would have been a match made in heaven for me, but sadly, it obviously didn't happen. But it was that match, his promo, powerbombing MGK, just fucking awesome.
But let's face it, MGK deserved it. You can't shove somebody and not have repercussions.
No, he thought it was John Cena because he was a skinny white. Well, yeah,
nothing skinny about Cena. Come on now.
Yeah, but comparing it to Owens,
he was a wigger rapper, yeah. Is what it was.
Yeah, and rapper. That's what I was.
He wasn't rapper.
I mean, did anybody
not
get the
hack,
did anybody get the idea that Owens was having a tough time keeping up with Cena at the Money in the Bank match? No.
No,
I didn't get that impression.
Okay. I like how they referenced that Kevin Owens had a broken nose at one time or something, but Cena was the one that had the broken nose, really.
No, Kevin Owens did have a broken nose. His very first match in NXT, he broke his nose.
Yeah, he shattered his nose. EJ Parker.
Yeah.
It wasn't even that long ago, and he's no longer with WWE.
I'm so glad, though. CJ Parker was a waste.
He's another one of those gimmicks that, like when I see him, I was like, yep, you're not going to make it. He quit, but then again, he quit because he knew his fucking future.
Yeah, he had nothing to go. Yeah, he was fucked.
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead, Jake.
I think he's heading towards that if he doesn't have a change.
No, I see. Now I disagree because Solomon Crowe is coming in after Owens. Like, he's starting to get built up now. Give him a little bit of time and let's see what happens.
Well, I've heard chatter of people saying that he's doomed with this gimmick that he's stuck in, which...
Oh, gimmick.
Y'all know how much I love the hacker gimmick and how much potential is there. But the biggest problem when they first debuted him for me was the change of the theme song. And then they've changed it again since then and it has not gotten any better. But you're right, with time he will fit somewhere, but
potential,
it's just one of those
that
he's pigeonholed now.
Potential for what? Being boring? Yes, you're absolutely right. There's no potential at all in the hacker gimmick. He needs to go back to what he was doing on the indies, where it was like he was the whore. Yes. Totally needs to be the dark, angry, sadistic character.
I agree with that, but they're not going to do it in WWE. Maybe, you know, 5 years down the road, but not right now.
How long did we say that Kevin Steen would never be in the WWE because of his look? Or Samoa Joe would never be it. Or Neville would never make it. I got a feeling they're going to loosen the reins up a little more than we think.
But the hacker gimmick in itself, the potential of him hacking the, you know, that little bottom feeder, the ticker that's got the tweet. Imagine Solomon Crowe hacking into that with one of his spiels. Him cutting into the middle of the Raw commentary. Him cutting in before commercial break. Him cutting into backstage segment. That hacker character, especially if, think about this, if Finn Balor is debuting at WrestleMania and Solomon Crowe hacks his entrance and screws it up, think about how much heat will generate that character.
Yeah, I agree, DRG. I just think that it's the way he looks right now, and it's also the lack of TV time he's had.
The looks,
the
not
way
really
he looks
different.
Right now is beyond weird. It's
he's
beyond
always
weird.
He's always looked weird.
It's just no one is identifying with this guy right now, and that's the problem right now. He needs to find some way to identify with people. And I think for me, it's mostly the look. Everything he's done in the ring has been impressive, but he hasn't really had that much of a chance either. So I can say that as well.
Yeah, they're gonna still keep tweaking it. They'll find the spot. I mean, they may try to make a fucking hacker thing work, but I just don't see a future in the hacker thing.
I mean, if they have to, they'll flip his character, you know.
That's what I was wondering. Is there a gimmick change in the future?
Yeah.
It looks like he could be a vampire or something.
Or, I mean, if he doesn't catch on. If he doesn't catch on in a year, he'll be cut. I mean, it is what it is, you know.
I like that Kevin Bowden character.
Talking about CJ Parker and him being stuck in that gimmick that he's in, I know a lot of people don't see the potential in the hacker character that I do, so that's why I ask the question if he's another person that's going to get pigeonholed based on the character that he debuted with.
Yeah, I mean, I also think the reason why people get, I mean, I mean, even Triple H has said it. Everyone has said it. Even Bill DeMott said it on Jericho's podcast. The only reason why someone gets cut is because they're not putting the time in that they need. And if they're being advised, if they're being advised that they need to put more time in and they need to change this, they need to change that, and they're not doing what they need to do, they're gone. They're going to be gone. And I think CJ Parker, it wasn't just the fact the way they used him in the ring. It was what he was doing out of the ring as well, the stuff that we don't see.
Well, he didn't get cut. He left. He quit.
Yeah, they do.
He did not get cut. So the WWE was doing whatever they wanted. He was just, he could see what was coming, and there was no future for him.
He was the JTG of NXT, is what.
How long did they let, how long and how many different tries did they give Adam Rose? Was it 3 years and four different gimmicks? They'll give him a chance. It's not like he's just going to say, well, this didn't work, you're fired.
What was he before Leo Kruger?
I think he was just himself at one point.
It was Leo Kruger. I thought it came in as Leo Kruger.
Oh, see, I thought there was like something before Leo Kruger even.
No, I think it was Leo Kruger character, and then Adam Rose when they changed it before bringing him to the main roster.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't.
Johnny Curtis, on the other hand, went through. I'm sorry, Bam. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying I'm surprised they haven't switched Adam Rose back to Leo Kruger yet. I'm really shocked they haven't done it yet.
Leo Kruger never connected with anybody, though.
Now, Johnny Curtis, to your credit, Mop, I believe, went through two or three different gimmicks before settling into the Fandango role.
Yeah, that is true, too, yeah. Because he was, I think it was just Johnny Curtis, and he was the weird guy.
Johnny Curtis.
There you go.
Love that character. It was so Keep Austin weird, man. That's exactly how that character was. Perfect.
All right, do I have a toss or improve?
Jesus Christ, that was heavy sets, Keep.
Now that we have fixed all of NXT, let's move on.
Let me see.
Cesaro's fighting Owens on SmackDown. Can't wait.
Did Devil like the women's match?
The women's match was great. It was fantastic.
Actually, the women's match on the pay-per-view was good. It was very good.
I was
debating if to give Nikki the best of the week.
It was awesome.
Yeah, but I bet you'd love to give her a best of the week.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Gosh, she's so hot.
I want to improve the... Oh, damn it. I'm taking it for a different reason. I want to improve the segment with Paige talking to the other divas, and I want to add Natty into the mix.
Well, the whole thing was kind of awkward, really.
Replace Rosa with Natty.
Just replace Rosa.
I mean, I like the whole segment. I like the whole segment. I like the fact that she's trying to rally the divas behind her, and that they're not forgetting what she did to all of them when she first got in and started hanging out with AJ all the time. I dig the whole storyline right now. I'm really enjoying this whole storyline.
There's a payoff coming.
Yeah, where's the payoff. I want to see
I'm waiting for Charlotte to come up. I'm with Devil. I'm not even sure what's coming up with it.
Like, it seems like to me they're pointing to that, but, I mean, that's just what I'm assuming, but I don't even need Charlotte to come up. I just need more in-depth in these promos. Something else needs to happen with these ladies.
You're only using
two divas a night.
You also got to understand this is the beginning of the story of everybody turning on the Bellas. So give it a little time before you go crapping on it.
Okay.
The things that I find funny about the current Diva storyline, though, is it reminds me of AJ Lee. To the fact of AJ Lee was champion forever, and she beat everybody. And I think that's what they're wanting to do. And at the same time, they're also rehashing, a.k.a. I think it's kind of like a retry of when AJ Lee came back. Yeah. I think they had a certain direction they wanted to go, and then when she basically had to retire, bailed or whatever, however you want to put it, like, they're like, oh, shit. Mm-hmm. So what they've basically done in the past month or so, they've literally like, okay, we need to go back a couple weeks, but this is going to take us a while.
They have to reset everything.
Yeah, and they've kind of got everything back to where it was, where it's Paige versus the Bellas. I can't get a win. I am outnumbered. Well, who are we going to put in her place?
Yeah, the other thing...
Who is going to help her? It was AJ Lee at first. Mm-hmm. Now who's going
to
be?
Yeah, and the other thing is, too, is that you have to notice that...
I keep waiting on Brie to turn on Nikki because she keeps mentioning it every other promo she has about beating Stephanie and all that other stuff and the fact that she beat her sister at the same, she betrayed her sister. She keeps mentioning it and her sister goes, oh yeah, that's no big deal. Oh yeah, that's no big deal. But eventually it's going to be a big deal, right? I mean, there's a reason why they keep mentioning it or they wouldn't say it at all.
Maybe, but I wouldn't hold my breath.
No, I'm not. Oh, okay. Okay.
At some point, yeah, that's going to happen, but it'll be a while.
It's going to happen. I mean, it has to happen, Mom. I mean, you don't write everyone's, and they write all of the, it's not like the divas are writing their own stuff. Not that the divas can't, they're just not doing it.
Not being allowed to.
Yeah, thank you.
Because there's going to be a lot of, you know, in there.
Yeah.
Mop, you know what?
Oh my god, yeah.
Do you know why?
They are possibly the two worst actresses I've ever seen in my life, and I'm not even fucking around. Like, it's possible. They're the two worst ever.
Just goes to show you. Just goes to show you, looks will get you way farther than talent ever will.
They are so much better on Total. I believe everything they say on Total Divas. I don't believe anything they say on Raw. Nothing. I don't believe it all. Any of it. It's not believable.
Blow jobs, Mop.
No, hey man, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, that's what I was looking to, DRG.
And, I mean, we're sitting here crapping on them, but Nikki and Paige really put on a damn good match on Sunday. They really did.
The thing is, they can. They're just not allowed to.
Exactly. They were given time. No, I was just saying, exactly. They were given time and allowed to do things.
Right, but it came at the cost of a 5-minute tag team match when the New Day has had so much momentum and everything built into them that the match that they're giving with the primetime players just felt lackluster.
Well, sort of. I actually think original plans were, you know, they weren't going to have to do a big tribute for Dusty Rhodes, and something had to suffer for it.
And I think Cena and Owens went long.
Well that and the 35-minute Money in the Bank match.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was wrong too.
Yeah, they gave the main event. I looked at it was like 2:15, and they were getting ready to start the stuff.
Minutes, yeah, it was a long. It was a long main event.
It was like a 35-37 minute match, but that's kudos. That's what it needed to be. You know, that's what made it awesome. But
it was a grudge
to have the build that they were having for the New Day going on, to have them lose in that kind of fashion just kind of was deflating.
It was a little deflating for me too.
Yeah, but it's also the beginning of the story, so just, you know, there's going to be, I mean, didn't they basically main event Raw?
Yeah. Yes. And Xavier keeps cracking. I like that, too. I like the fact that he keeps cracking every once in a while.
Yeah, where he, like, kind of starts to lose it.
They have to get him back to clapping again. I like it.
Clap therapy.
Yeah, clap therapy. There you go.
That sounds so wrong.
I had a tweet about that. Clap therapy just sounds so bad.
Trying to put on solo, huh?
I had another good one. What was it? Something about what Triple H said to Seth. It sounded like something else, and I'm like, he said something about, is it sucking up cock? But the way he said it sounded like he was saying someone was sucking up cock.
Sucking up cock.
I'm like, what? Oh, cost. Okay.
Show them.
Maybe you must have China on the brain, my bad.
You even hate cocks. I love cocks.
I love cocks. He is from Iowa.
That's true.
Well, in all fairness, it wasn't Triple H that loved cocks. It was Vince.
Yeah, he does kind of have an irrational love for penises.
Pushing people in the pool.
And poop.
You rather choke poop. His chicken.
Dick and daddy jokes. Dick and Natalia jokes. I mean, fart jokes.
All right, Heavy. What's next?
All right, let's get into What's On.
What's On? That's my shit, dog. We're only 4 hours into this podcast, finally getting on to What's
On. So let's make this.
This is what happens when we have DRG on.
And I've been quite quiet. It's been other people.
Yeah, go back.
No. Here's the thing. Quiet. You and Mop together are like a combustible element.
Yep. So
you guys are fine separate, but we mix you up. It's. Yeah.
I enjoy the conversation.
Mop, me and you need to go for a world record longest podcast. Let's do it.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Yeah, they have some matches that go on for like 72 hours or something.
You're gonna need someone to step in for the time Mop has to go out for a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
They can go on a road trip.
I'll do it on my phone.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've already been out to smoke a couple of cigarettes.
I've only been out once, and I figure once DRG gets started talking, I'll probably go again.
All right, Devil Vamp, what's on?
E3 is on. That's what's on. E3, Microsoft press conference, the Sony press conference, the Ubisoft press conference, the 2K press conference, and the Bethesda press conference was amazing.
Now explain to listeners what E3 stands for.
Electronic Entertainment Expo. It's where all the video game manufacturer publishers and manufacturers go and show all their cool upcoming wares for the next year or 2 years or 4 years or, depending on the game, 7 years.
Well, it's not even just games, it's electronic
hardware. Yeah, it's electronic stuff in general. If you go there, it's a lot more than if you watch it on TV.
Has Apple gone yet?
I haven't seen anything for Apple, no. I haven't seen it. 2K hasn't gone yet either, actually. 2K has not done a press conference yet.
Okay. Because it's like Ubisoft. E3. I look at E3 as like the electronic version of Comic-Con.
Yes, that's exactly
what of San Diego Comic-Con, I should say. Yeah, not just a normal Comic-Con, but San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, it's all the big guys. It's not even the small ones. It's CES is smaller stuff, and E3 is the big dog. So right now I'm watching a really, really cool gameplay footage from Tomb Raider, the new Tomb Raider. So it's been a really good E3, honestly. It's been a fantastic E3. It's all about the games. About the games.
So where does EC3 fit into this?
I don't know what. I don't even know who that is. There you go. That's my what's on.
I'm one of those.
Neither does most of the world. Definitely jumps in and ruins my shit again.
I'm one of those nerds that I'd much rather go to a PAX exchange than an EC3 event, or EC3 than an E3 event.
Fucking Andy.
I know. Like, E3 has always been real cool about figuring out what's next.
I would really like to go.
Devil Vamp would unmute the TV right now. All of a sudden, you're trouble.
But if I go to an E3, I would want to go to the one where the game consoles are about halfway through their lifespan, because that's when they start releasing new ones and they give it to the audience of E3. So I want to go to the 5 year where PS4 is doing their new slim version of the PS4.
Yeah, they did that like I guess it was 2 years ago when they announced the one in the 4, and they had the battling conferences with Titanfall and all the other ones. They released prototype and then free games for people that actually attended the event.
So when's the $100 price going down? Usually right around now, it doesn't usually go down $100.
The Xbox already dropped price, man. They've dropped it.
Yeah, and the fact that they're adding the backwards compatibility thing, that hypes me up.
But Xbox pissed me off with that. They wouldn't honor my Red Ring, and I went to PlayStation, and I've been so happy with PlayStation ever since.
Okay. That was my what's on.
DRG, what's on?
Thanks to Mop, I watched a show called Between on Netflix that was interesting and diverse, and it was pretty cool. I was happy with it. And outside of that, I've been watching a lot of Arrow Season 3. Thank God for
Torrent. What's the thing about you said you found a character on there reminded me of you? I mean, reminded you of me?
No, I said Vamp would love this show because there was a character whose, I guess, parents were the pastor, and his wife, they passed away, and inside one of the scenes, she was sitting there talking to her sister, and her sister said something about, don't you believe about these beliefs or something like that, and she goes, oh, well, right now I don't need forgiveness from your God or something like that, and it made me laugh and think about you. But a lot of Arrow Season 3 is what I've been catching up on right now. I'm like where Ra's al Ghul just showed up in Sterling City to pose as the Arrow.
Season.
Yeah, very, very cool stuff. Other than that, I've got The Flash to watch. I've got Daredevil to finish watching. I've got The 100.
Did you finish watching Daredevil yet?
No, I'm on episode like 8.
Why are you on this podcast? I don't even know why you're on this podcast.
Haven't even started.
Oh my God, it's so amazing.
I'm sorry, I've got a family that needs attention. I've got a lawn to mow. I've got responsibilities, man. Just
man, don't you have a tablet you can just attach to your like hat or something and just watch it while you're mowing the lawn? That's what.
No. I might be a redneck, but I'm not that big of a redneck.
I think we can hotwire one of those R zones from the late 90s.
Oh, yeah.
yeah. Can watch one.
Heavy, did you hear about Rare?
No.
Rare is releasing a 30 for $30, including Conker's Bad Fur Day.
I seen the cover for that.
Perfect Dark. They're all being HD'd, I believe. I cannot wait for this fucking. Yeah.
Too bad it's not gonna have Donkey Kong.
Yeah, no, not gonna have Donkey Kong.
Love those.
Yeah, but it's got Battletoads on it.
Battletoads.
Perfect Dark.
So fun for me.
Battletoads Pro-Am.
Earthworm Jim. Uh-oh. Earthworm Jim was a great game.
I wanna see that Pixel movie coming out. That was good.
Rares. Oh, Blast Corps. I fucking forgot about Blast Corps. Oh, so good. Conker's Bad Fur Day is by far one of my favorite video games of all time.
I was briefly talking to a chick a couple months back, and that was one of her favorites, and I'm like, I've never played it. But then again, it was on N64.
I love
it. I'm not a big N64 fan. I grew up on Super Nintendo, and I had that until I was in the 8th grade.
Dude, that is the best hard. Wrestling games. That, some of the best wrestling games ever came out on Nintendo 64.
Yeah, it was on 64. That Conker's Bad Fur Day is probably one of the most offensive games that I have ever played in my entire life. At one point, you literally are supposed to get drunk and piss on these fire enemies to put them out so you can hit them. It is an amazing game. I love that game so much. I will pay $30.
WCW versus NWO was my shit, dog. That's a good game. Yeah.
Mop, what's on?
Mop smoking.
He would be. What's on? Smoking. Katie, what's on?
I watched a lot of wrestling. I watched a lot of Dusty Rhodes promos that made me smile. I watched Triple H's Blu-ray again, which was cool. And I watched the recent one by Kingdom Come.
By Kingdom Come, that's a good one.
Yeah. And I watched the history of WWE 50 years. And my sister got me a Legends of Wrestling DVD where it has the two wrestlers on there and they have the panel where they talk about it. And I think it's Ric Flair and Sergeant Slaughter. So I'm actually going to watch that later. So yeah, it's a lot of cool stuff I watched.
What's on?
Mom, you back yet?
Yeah, I'm back.
Yeah. What's on?
Watch the Game of Thrones final. Nah. And Witcher 3 is awesome. Mop, we're doing that next Friday, I believe, I think.
That's what you said last week, wasn't it?
I'm holding my breath.
Well, that happens. Real turn on Nikki.
Let me see. What have I been watching?
Can I go?
I don't know. You're in and out. Like, you said, like, oh, I'm in a cabin, so I want to listen. So if you... And you just randomly... What would you keep tossing and prove?
I'm back now. Oh, it's my keep. Oh, Jesus.
He did his keep already.
Let's go. I would have tossed. I'm tired of Twin Magic. I really am. Toss that.
There you go. But she used tissues to make it look like she was bigger.
Yeah, but still, I'm just tired of it. It's been played.
If she didn't stuff those back in and take those back out anymore, I thought she was going to actually bring her titties out at one point.
Well, I thought she was about ready to show vagina when she pulled her pants down.
There's nothing to bring out. I still think she's the hotter one.
You're insane, too.
Somebody keep telling me.
I don't know. Me and this one chick, we were texting back and forth.
Yeah, you were.
And I think we were because she's a wrestling fan too, and we actually talked about Eddie Kingston and Kofi Kingston, and it was just like, between the two, who would you fuck? And we started going back and forth with those, and she asked me, she's like, me and Brikki Bella. I was like, fuck Nikki, marry Brie.
Yeah,
give me Kofi. I wouldn't want any part of Eddie Kingston.
Who's Eddie Kingston?
Yeah, who's Eddie Kingston?
Eddie Kingston would be that tough guy but an easy lover, you know.
I don't know, he's fucking he's a guy in Ring of Honor and Independence. He's currently dating Mia Yim, aka Jade in TNA, which fucking fact that he's banging her, fucking good for him.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Eddie Kingston.
The skirts
go ahead, Andy.
The skirts that she wears, and you see her freaking. Oh man.
Calm down, Andy.
Speaking of that, did they really do the fucking lingerie match with China or not? China?
No.
But it was a good segment.
I'll take your word for it.
Just if anything, look, Google in Taryn and lingerie.
Well, you get a lot of pictures there. I was more worried about Kong in a fucking.
It was nothing special. Yeah, they showed lingerie that Kong should have worn, but she didn't.
Yeah, she came out and basically demolished Marty and Jade, and then afterwards,
all right, Andy,
Jared
what's
so
on?
Crazy. Ha ha ha.
Well, I did watch TNA and Destination X. I did watch that, so you can talk about that. But my non-wrestling stuff, I watched Jurassic World, and I also watched all three movies leading up to it. I totally forgot that the second one actually wasn't that bad. I only watched it the one time when I watched it in the theaters when I was little, and
Wait a minute. The Jurassic, the, Jurassic World negates 2 and 3.
We mean negates.
It doesn't mean 2 is, like, unwatchable.
They still supposedly right now it's still canon.
Really?
That's what they're saying. It's very loose.
Yeah, I heard
if I'm correct, one of the dinosaurs from 3 was they used as a skeleton in the main
the main atrium or something.
The main road or whatever you want to call it there, like of the resort where you had all the shops and everything, and like they had it sitting in the middle.
The Spinosaurus one.
Yeah, big spine, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I heard that it's supposed to take place after Jurassic Park, so Jurassic World takes place literally after Jurassic Park.
Yeah, it's so...
I haven't
but
seen it yet.
Like,
I was,
it said
20
years later.
Tomorrow.
It said 20 years later, and like 2 and 3 took place like 15 years after. So I mean,
you have to wait for really time to develop on a lot of this because they
months or something.
They're going to make 3. I mean not 3. They're going to make 2, and they're probably going to make another 3.
Yeah.
Of Jurassic World because of how much money. Fuck, a half a billion worldwide.
Yeah, I heard they already signed them. Yeah, they signed Chris Pratt for 2 more years or 2 more months.
So, they'll probably reveal more stuff, because supposedly there's people saying that Chris Pratt's character was a little kid in Jurassic Park, and that explains, like, his way he looked at animals, talk about respect and respect and respect, and when asked about it, he said, like, he wasn't going to answer because he enjoys the speculation, which is almost saying, hey, I don't know.
Supposedly he's supposed to be the kid that Dr. Grant, at the beginning of the Jurassic Park first one, takes the raptor claw to the stomach and shows him like how he would cut him up and stuff like that. Supposedly.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. I think it's possible.
Yeah.
But they haven't. Right now, it's just purely fan speculation.
Well, hold on. Is the argument that the second one was because it supposedly happened right after Jurassic Park, the first one? Because, like, Malcolm wrote a book and was a published novelist after years of being off that island.
I swear it was, like 7 or at least 7 years afterwards, if not.
Yeah, he wrote a novel and went on a tour based on all of the things that happened in Jurassic Park, the first one.
Okay, all right. Let's move on. We're talking about wrestling.
No, well,
actually, this is what's on when we talk about other shit.
Okay.
Anything else, Andy?
I watched Lucha Underground, but Devil doesn't want to talk about that either. So.
Yeah, that's not wrestling. You can't talk about that.
Okay, so whatever. Move on.
Did I say anything about that? Nope.
I love you.
Let me see. I actually seen Jurassic World. My review will be on Old School at the Movies whenever the hell that gets posted. I mean, it could be Friday. It could be Sunday.
It could be Monday, after Tuesday.
The last episode gets posted.
No, I haven't decided when the last episode. I don't think I'm going to post the last episode immediately. It's going to be an episode that gets posted onto the website, but you won't be able to download it until a certain date. I haven't decided.
I have a man crush on Chris Pratt now.
I do too. After watching Guardians of the Galaxy.
You should watch Jurassic World. Oh my God, his bicep!
I haven't yet. I will.
I've seen Jurassic World. I sat down. I think Sunday I watched Dark Knight Rises. I have not seen it since it came out in theaters. I saw it at midnight. I like that movie even more now.
You like that movie, you sir?
I've seen that movie at least 7 times in the past, I want to say 2 years. That's one of mine that I'll go back and rewatch. It's such a good film.
I love that whole Nolan trilogy, but I think the Dark Knight Rises really encapsulates whatever the trilogy, because they have as many cameos as they can throw in there. Some they, even if they're dead, they show them on screen. The only one they didn't was Joker, and I kind of understand why. That was an actual real life death, but like everybody's in it one way or another. You needed certain things that happened in Batman Begins for that movie to make sense. And I remember when that movie came out, when I was watching it, I knew Ra's al Ghul had a daughter.
He's got
two. But what I'm saying is, I was thinking, like, I forget how, I actually can't remember how I was thinking, but it's the moment that she stabs Batman, I'm like, oh yeah, fucking Ra's al Ghul had a daughter! Motherfucker! Yeah, why did I put the
video games? Yeah.
Eventually, Andy's going to learn. I'm going to just start kicking him off the call. This is the second time I've kicked him off.
That movie was great. I didn't really like Begin, to be perfectly honest. It was too slow. It was too slow for me, I think was the problem. But I've gone back and watched the other two in that trilogy numerous times. So, and overall, Nolan's trilogy has been by far the best credit to Batman out of anything done. I'm interested with what they're going to do with Affleck's character for as much flack as everybody gives him. He's got me curious, so we'll see.
I mean, I love Batman Begins, but I'm a huge Batman fan, so like I was pumped for that movie when it came out. Me and my best friend went to go see the first showing the day it came out. We drove down to Cincinnati that day, and we talked about it the whole way. So like to me, that it's just an awesome backstory movie. But the thing is, like, you needed some of that for the last, like I said, the last one that makes sense. Dark Knight is the best of all three, but it's in the whole storyline of all three movies, it's the peak of it all. So a lot of cool shit's gonna happen.
It's the crescendo moment, and that's why the trilogy works so well, is because for the storytelling aspect of Begins, to the detailed, elaborate story of Batman and the Joker, to how it finished off, it was every movie built and built and built. So you're right when you say that it is a crescendo.
All right, that's pretty much all that I've watched. I don't think I've listened to anything new except for the brutal murder of the Cleveland Cavaliers right now. It's horrible. Go football season. Anyway.
Yeah, there's something to look forward to in Cleveland.
No, I like football in general.
Yeah, Johnny Idiot Face.
Best line ever.
Yes. Sure, you don't cut him off.
Yes, because football season isn't just about the Browns. Let's talk about how great the Bengals are going to do. Or,
win the division.
How about them Bears?
Or the Buckeyes.
I'm just looking forward to defending my title against all of y'all for the Pick'ems League.
And speaking of Pick'ems, that was done for a reason, let's get into the picks for the pay-per-view. And what the fuck off.
I'm trotty.
People are going to stop betting all in.
Miz could maybe suck it.
Maybe what I can... I psyched everybody out. I said early on that I was going to like start betting all my points and everything, and I have yet to do that, but I've gained a little bit of ground. Not much, but some. Let's start off where we were once at. DRG was in first place with 33, AA, second place 32, Biohazard, third place 25, Katie, whatever I'm at now, fourth or fifth, 21st.
21st.
21. Ant with 20. Double Vamp with 17. Me with 12. I didn't miss anybody? Okay. Mop with 19.
Bio was third. I don't know that.
He said it.
He did.
Yeah. Now, just starting with picks, not counting the bonus stuff. Double Vamp got 2 right with Rollins and Big Show. I got 2 right with R-Truth and Primetime Players. Katie got 3 right with Truth, Cena, and Nikki Bella.
I can't believe Barrett fucked me.
Biohazard got 1 right with Seth Rollins. In first place for just picks, and he didn't bet anything either, we have the Mop Chalky with 5 correct. The only 2 he got wrong were Barrett and Ryback.
Stupid mid.
DRG got Cena and Rollins. Ant just got Rollins. And AA had 3 with Cena, Rollins, and Primetime Players. Now,
fucking Miz.
The one time I didn't bet Primetime Players. The one time I didn't bet Primetime Players, and they fucking won the title. Bullshit.
Now, here's where we get the fun part. We have the negatives. The only 2 people that did not put up points were myself and Mop. So Mop got first place for the week with 5, and I got second place with 2. I got second place with 2. Moving on.
I got second place with 2, too, motherfucker. We tied.
No, I'm now talking after bets.
You're talking about totals.
Totals, yes. We didn't bet anything, so we stay at where we're at. You guys are not staying where you're at. I got second place with 2.
Fucking me.
In third place with 1 point left, because he... No, wait a minute. Yeah, 1 point. He went big on, which is Bio. He went plus 5 on Seth Rollins retaining, which is right, but he went plus 5 on Ryback winning.
Oh, yeah.
Negating them, so plus 1 is Biohazard. I mean, technically, he didn't put up any points either, kind of.
Kind of.
Next up, and this is where we get the fun part, let's go into the negatives.
Fucking Miz.
Negative 2, because he put plus 5 on Ryback. Andy Anderson.
fucking
nice job, Andy.
Cleveland, I tell you, that guy from Cleveland. God bless
him. Andy, tie.
Stop fucking with your headset.
A tie with minus three, Devil Vamp and Katie.
Yeah.
We'll start with Katie. Plus four. Katie did a plus four with a red arrow off a ladder. It had a red arrow, but it was not off a ladder.
It was not a tail off a ladder, damn it.
I think the reason why they did this, when you're jumping off a ladder like that, it has to be weighed down.
Yeah.
So they would have to got a special ladder in there for the spot, or you would have to have done it where he's on the top of the ladder, and then you naturally...
I gave him much credit, that was the thing.
You could have
that, and the risk of over-rotating in that spot, because that's to spin and flip at the same time, the over-rotation factor is just too much.
Mm.
And Katie had a plus two on a Roman Reigns cash-in. Roman Reigns did not win the match. Didn't win the Money in the Bank, so... And there's no cash-in either, so that was a double whammy.
All good bets, Katie.
And let's get into Devil Vamp. He picked Owens with a plus three. He picked Paige with a plus one. And with another plus one, he picked Charlotte, who was nowhere to be seen.
I didn't
on
even
the,
see one, yeah. one mole. No mole. Didn't see it.
There wasn't even a sign in the crowd.
She swerved me on Thursday. I blame SmackDown.
And if you think that was bad with negative three, let's get into next up, DRG. Winding up with negative eight. He went big on the plus five for Rollins winning, but he also went plus five on Ryback, plus five on Roman Reigns, and plus five on New Day, giving him a grand total of negative eight.
Wow.
To be fair, I argued on that call that there was going to be a title change and I could tell where it was going to come from, and I thought that it was going to be in the Divas match, but I did not have enough faith in that to put the title change on there, so I ended up going on the prime time, the New Day winning, because I thought the title change was going to be the Divas, and it fucked me. And thanks a lot, Miz, but I'm happy because I thought I actually had negative 11 points, so negative 8, well, I'll live with.
And even if you would have got negative 11, you still wouldn't have had the worst of the week.
Nope.
Worst of the week is Ant. Mr. Balls Out came in with 20 points, and he said all in. Well, he got plus one. Of all the things, he went two things plus five. Neither of them worked out. He went Rollins plus one, so he got that to go with his one pick that he got right.
Mm-hmm.
But he went plus five on New Day, plus one on Owens, plus five on Ryback, plus one on Paige, plus one on Roman Reigns winning Money in the Bank, plus one on Wade Barrett, and plus one on Reigns screwing Ambrose.
Everything
grand
is
total
wrong.
Of negative 13.
So essentially what you're saying is when you go all in, you lose?
That seems to be what it is, and I understand what you're saying too. Fuck you. the standings right now.
After Money.
Little changes, but we have in first place, Biohazard with 31. Second place, Double A with 30. Third place,
Biohazard's not on, he's in the lead.
I know.
Third place, DRG with 25.
Yeah, I would have been in the lead if it wouldn't have been for fucking betting that.
Fucking Miz.
Fourth place, Mop, not too far behind, at 24. Fifth place, Katie with 18.
I dropped one spot.
Tied for sixth place, myself and Devil Vamp at 14.
Which we remain tied for some reason. I don't know why.
And in last place. Being left with 7 points. Ant.
He's got 5 weeks to think about his betting. So
I think he's going to bet it all again.
I think he's.
Oh, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm betting everything. Then.
Yeah. Good luck with that. With the main event. Good luck betting points on that. Go for it, man.
Go balls deep, man.
It's balls out, Double A, not balls deep. Jesus Christ.
You
go balls deep.
You're doing
deep.
It wrong.
Go balls
deep.
Have
you ever seen Nick and Nora?
I go deep. Balls deeper.
Balls deep.
All right. What did everybody think of the pay-per-view?
I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it, too.
I actually thought there was, I liked four matches on it, which is more than I can say about most pay-per-views. Yeah, I think the ladder match between Rollins and Ambrose was actually extraordinarily good.
It was awesome.
It was brutal. I felt
it
so
was
much...
Lot-
I won't say it was a lot better than their Hell in the Cell match. I really didn't care for their Hell in the Cell match, but I really liked their it was brutal, Katie. You're right. It was brutal. And then the Cena Owens, like I said, that was my keep because it was the crowd made that match.
Mm-hmm.
Still too many false finishes, but
yeah, but that seems to be a trend lately is the false finishes.
Especially when he did that gut buster, not the gut buster, the package, sort of the package. It wasn't a package.
Package power
soup. It's like package suplex and the package powerbomb. Both of them should have ended, and neither one of them did. So
well, but I mean, technically, he hit two of the pop-up powerbombs, and I think Cena hit a couple of AAs. It's just, I guess that's what they're going to now, is this a finisher doesn't fucking finish a match.
If it's a grudge match, that's
they're doing
that's
Ring of Honor better than Ring of Honor does Ring of Honor.
I guess so. I think Elimination Chamber was still just slightly better, but this is the best. The Money in the Bank match wasn't that good. I don't think
you didn't
agree
like
with that.
No, I actually really enjoyed that.
It's not that I didn't like it. It just wasn't as spot heavy as I like them to be, because you know it's a ladder, so
well,
I expect them to be. I expect them to be either the way that Ambrose and Rollins match was, which was brutal, or I want spot.
Yeah, but you don't want two matches like that. So with the guys that were in the Money in the Bank match, a lot of it was going to be not height based. You know what I'm saying? It was all ground stuff with Kane, Roman, Ark, and Randy Orton. So you know, like the oh yeah, and Sheamus. They're all more. They're not height guys. Like the fucking power bomb with Kofi on top of the ladder, and then Neville on top of that. The RKO halfway up the ladder was fucking amazing. Dude, there was some really good spots in there.
There were, but like you said, it's the different dynamics between having those. Because we used to have this problem when it was the WWE versus the World Heavyweight Money in the Banks. One would be more spot, high spot guys with the Adrian Nevilles and the Kofi Kingstons and Dolph Ziggler, which is still kind of ground, but he can fly as well. Versus the heavier guys. Well, now it's only one ladder or one Money in the Bank match. You've got to incorporate both styles in there. And it just so happened that this year it was more of the ground-based heavyweights than it was the high flyers.
And anytime you could see a guy as big as Roman Reigns jumping over the top rope out of the ring, that's pretty fucking impressive.
That dude is amazing. I don't care how many
people
hate on him. He is impressive.
I guess that's his new pay-per-view thing.
Well, yeah. Well, did you see the commercial with Roman with the little girl?
His daughter?
Yeah, is that his daughter?
Yeah,
oh,
his daughter.
That was a while ago. Yeah.
I was just saying, I just saw it, dude. That was fucking awesome, too.
Well, they played it right before the whole Bray Wyatt thing, so I thought that's good planning.
any other comments on the pay-per-view?
It was a good show. I mean, there was some good moments. The Cena Owens match was good, and I liked the main event, too.
Yeah, I mean, you had the Divas. I didn't think the Divas match was the worst match on the card. I mean, it was, what, maybe third, fourth?
Well, Devil liked it.
I thought it was very good.
I kind of chuckled because in the main event where Ambrose was getting piled on, he looked like he was getting buried. I was kind of chuckling about all the smarky guys going, oh, see, he's burying him. He's getting buried. They're burying Ambrose.
I'll say this about Ambrose. When he was in pain, when he got hurt, it looked like he was in actual pain, and his facial expressions look more real now when he would get hit with something.
Yeah, Ambrose is somebody that I've seen some of the bloodiest matches out of Ambrose, so anytime that he does WWE stuff, I don't really think that he's hurt, but it's just because I have a skewed view of the guy.
I think with me, it was an okay pay-per-view. I felt kind of meh about it. I mean, one, because I wanted Owens to win. Two,
Sheamus.
By the time Sheamus was another one. I would much rather have Roman Reigns win, but I'm still willing to see where this goes. I think he's going to have a pretty good cash in. I wouldn't be surprised if it's on Brock Lesnar again. And then the main event match was happening towards the end of the Cavs game, so I was more or less in a bad mood either way. I'm like, motherfuckers.
Do you think that having Elimination Chamber and Money in the Bank so close together hurt this pay-per-view, in your opinion?
I don't think it hurt it, but I don't think you're ever going to see it again. It just was a, it was a timing issue with the Elimination Chamber, where they were at an arena that they could do it, so they did it. So
it was just a, got people to watch.
Just a lot. It was just a lot. It was a lot of wrestling in a really,
well, then you throw time. Yeah, then you throw in the NXT, and yeah, it was a lot.
That might even work. NXT.
Well, at least the Battleground's like 5 weeks away. We have time to breathe a little bit.
Well, don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining, because like, I mean, between Unstoppable and Elimination Chamber, they've, and now Money in the Bank, they've put out some high quality wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's the idea of overloading these big time feuds that they're trying to build to in such a short period of time, if that affected Money in the Bank in any way.
No, I don't think so.
It's just crazy how they just threw those out there right away, like King of the Ring and Elimination Chamber. It's just like, bam, in 2 weeks you're going to get this. It's just crazy.
Well, like I say, the Elimination Chamber, my understanding of it is it has to be held in certain arenas, because a lot of the arenas don't have the supports for the structure, and it just happened to work out that they were at a place and they thought they needed to boost what was on the network, so they said, okay, we'll do this.
That makes sense.
But I mean, I'd even go back to what, WrestleMania. Ever since Mania, I like every pay-per-view has been good to passable, you know what I'm saying, as a pay-per-view.
Yeah, they've been on
they haven't missed a beat since then.
No, they're really trying to fill that WrestleMania 33.
I'm just really curious why they brought Brock back now, other than my thinking is they're going to go ahead, get his feud with Rollins over with and leave the belt on Rollins, and then he'll go on to something else at SummerSlam.
So are they going to explain like how he's just back after being suspended?
Oh, I'm sure they're going to say something. Oh, yeah.
The authority brought him back.
Well, no.
The authority brought him back, but there's the lawsuit thing, which Michael Cole actually, they did a thing on,
it was a video
they posted on YouTube. Yeah, that basically said they settled out of court.
Yeah.
Oh, I got you.
Okay. Continuity in that. They don't have to see it on TV.
No, they'll play a little clip of it on TV, but yeah, just the highlights.
They'll probably mention it on commentary saying that.
But yeah, I just, it's kind of awkward or odd for them to bring him back at not a very marquee event. And I really think that they're going to start telling the story of Rollins being separated from the authority. And this is just another step of them separating Rollins.
Well, I've heard it's Rollins and Triple H at SummerSlam, possibly.
Now, see, that would make sense. But
they're talking Rollins, Triple H. Last month it was Reigns, Triple H.
Yeah.
So
good luck.
If it's Rollins, Triple H, Rollins ain't gonna have the title.
Yeah, that's
going,
my other thought. Although they could go ahead and do it and have Rollins beat fucking Triple H even for the title.
I think you're gonna see, and this is getting way ahead, I think Lesnar's gonna win, then you're gonna get a cash in.
Yeah, I think going back to your pick last week, Mop, whenever you made that comment with Sheamus, one of the things that I could see Sheamus winning for is because I think that he's going to be brought into the authority, and he will be that next big piece or chess piece that they have on the board. And
you know,
I can see something of that happening.
You know it gets shit on, though, because it would be almost the same thing they did with Rollins.
Well, you know, he can be a white chess piece.
To a point, though, but you've got to remember with everybody's knowledge and history of Sheamus and how close him and Triple H have been for so long, it seems only fitting to have Sheamus in the authority.
Tell me you can't hear the internet. Oh my god, they're doing the exact same thing as they did before with Rollins. They're just doing it all over again.
But you can hear the internet.
There's already people bitching, and this was by another person who has a chemical imbalance, a little bit insane psycho, saying that.
He drinks Sunny D.
Thinking that, actually, no, that might have been a solo person saying, "Oh, fuck the Triple H regime and all this, all the New Age clique."
Shut the fuck up, you fucking.
Exactly.
What the fuck is wrong?
Exactly. I'm like, shut the fuck. It's not like Sheamus has been shoved down your throat like
Sheamus
other wrestlers.
Good matches though, since he's been back, dude. He's been on his fucking game.
He's always put on good matches. Sheamus has never not put on good matches.
Fucking don't awesome. I entertain you? Aren't you entertained?
People make the argument that, oh, well, Sheamus has more named moves than anybody else. So fucking what? I don't mind that. I think it's awesome because it plays to his character. That helps build him that much more. Why are you going to bitch about something that is...
And every night at the round table, named its fucking sword. Who gives a fuck?
I like it. I like his name.
Yeah.
I like Sheamus as a wrestler.
I don't.
He's been doing great. He's getting ready to be a huge, huge blockbuster movie. A huge movie. As which one is? He's Rocksteady, right?
Come on.
He's Rocksteady. He's going to be
the Rhino.
Yeah. Turtle power.
In a half shell. Turtle power.
Yeah, that was the other thing. When he won, that's what popped in my mind. I'm like, well, he is going to like be in that movie. And I thought at the same time, like, wait a minute, that's not going to be out till next year.
Yeah, it's not going to be out till next year. It's just him doing work.
Unless
man.
He cashes in next year's Money in the Bank.
No, it's someone that's plausible to go against Brock. He's a big, huge dude. He's strong. He's fit. He's opposite of Brock. He's great. If someone's gonna cash in on Brock, it ain't gonna be fucking Rollins. It ain't gonna be Neville. I can tell you that right now.
Did Rollins cash in on Brock already once?
No, technically not. He kind of did.
He curbs.
He didn't.
He didn't pin him.
He didn't pin him.
He didn't cash in solo on him. That's the only difference. Sheamus credibly could cash in solo on Brock Lesnar.
I would love that match. I know Mop talks about Orton and Sheamus beating the hell out of each other. Could you imagine Brock and Sheamus?
There might be some blood in that match.
There'd be a whole hell of a lot of violence.
And not the cut time.
They'll definitely have to turn in the lights for that one because it's going to be bright on that camera. That's true. A fucking some a Wisconsin boy and a guy from fucking Ireland. Jesus Christ. Farmer's tan.
Hey, what do you got against the Midwest?
How funny would it be if Lesnar did come out with a true farmer's tan?
He's already got the freaking cutoff shirt for his arms.
Oh my god, I'm laughing so hard.
I got one right now.
Of course you do.
Andy, you're killing it.
So do I, goddammit. What's your point?
That's
just beef.
Let's get into Bio's news. Oh, let's get into the Mops mop-up.
Mop bucket.
Mop-up.
Okay, there you go. There ain't much, so I'm just going to do this quickly so everybody shut up. The Hogan Seth tape is going to cost Gawker up to $100 million, and they may have to sell the company. One down.
Wait, what was it?
The sex tape is going to cost Gawker up to $100 million. Tyson Kidd suffered a spinal cord injury during his match with Samoa Joe prior to Raw. Latest update is he may need to undergo surgery, which would keep him out of action a year or more.
God damn it.
Sounds very similar to a Daniel Bryan type deal.
So sad.
Several TNA stars are claiming that the company is behind on payroll again, according to ProWrestling.net. TNA is approximately a week behind on talent payroll. and EA Sports announced they are going to have a WWE 2K16 game. And hey, no, shocking.
Not EA.
Oh, sorry. 2K. Same thing, just as evil.
No.
Yes, they are. They announced Rollins, Bryan, Ambrose, Barrett, Paige, and Finn Balor. Is it Balor or Baylor?
It's Baylor.
Because I heard it pronounced like 90 ways.
It's Balor.
Anyways, that's your fucking news.
You should end the news like that on the other show.
I can't. He won't let me.
That's your fucking news, dude. Suck a dick.
I thought you were going to do news this week.
What? Oh, God. Please be quiet. Heavy. What's next?
Do you guys want to talk about any of that?
No. Tyson.
No.
Tyson, my mouth. When he said Hogan,
he would.
Tyson Kidd is a sad situation.
That's very
sad. Just as a man, that's sad. I mean, as regardless of what you think of him as a wrestler, that you don't wish that on anybody.
I really was happy with his NXT work, and he was really starting to come out of his shell for me. But you know, he can't. He just.
I don't think
so
anybody
sad.
Should blame Joe for it either. It was just an accident.
No, Joe got signed like immediately after the match, so evidently he wasn't careless.
Yeah, I don't. Have you seen people blame him?
No,
granted, you might see it on the internet, but
I haven't seen
a clip. I haven't found a clip of it happening because that was the whole thing with AJ Styles breaking everybody's necks. I watched the clips, and there are several of them of the people that actually tuck their chin like they're not supposed to do, and there was one person who it was just a bad botch. So I'm going to reserve. Oh, go ahead.
Speaking of AJ breaking necks, Yoshi's supposed to be coming back soon.
Was it a finishing move, DRG? Or was it? Did anybody hear if it was a finishing move or if it was just a fuck up?
Yeah. Well,
that's
I don't know.
What I heard was that it was on the Muscle Buster. And mm-hmm. if that's the case, I said this jokingly last week that I hoped it was something that they ran with as a build up just how vicious that move is. But
oh, they will. They will if it ever gets to that.
Yeah, they'll see.
I don't think that it's going to be something where they're worried about the package drop on the back that it's going to cause any more injuries. From everything that I have read, it was just a freak accident. And unless that video comes to light and I can view it myself, I'm not going to say that Joe caused it on purpose or that it was a botched spot or anything like that, because I don't personally know.
Dude, they're not going to sign Samoa Joe after breaking somebody's neck. Oh, yeah. So evidently it was not, it was just something that happened. It was, shit happens in a physical activity.
Mm-hmm. It does. And that's why it's such a sad thing for Tyson Kidd, is because this is a guy that has put in so much work, so much hard, dedicated work and passion that you just hate to see that happen to him.
Well, now he can go home and make a good housewife for Natty.
No, because he doesn't like her in lingerie.
I'd love to be a nice housewife for Natty.
I'd like to be Paige's housewife.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I let Natty fart in my office any day.
You call your mouth an office? Really?
I got to draw the line somewhere. I don't think I'd go that far.
I'm good with that. I'm good. I'll let Paige fart on me.
Let's get into best of the week. Let's get to email segments. No, we haven't had that forever.
Thank God.
Fun fact, Double Vamp.
What?
Kata recently was like, oh, I would have sent an email. And I'm like, dude, we haven't had emails in forever.
Yeah, we don't do emails. We don't do emails. Sorry, guys.
That's because nobody actually listens to us other than us.
No.
First of all, that's not true. I have the stats.
I don't ever hear any feedback at all as to whether we're, you know, fucking up.
I think you guys are awesome.
You're part of the crew, you idiot.
Anybody listening to this?
You send a compliment every 2 seconds on Twitter.
Anybody out there listening right now, we want some sort of feedback on this show. Just do it real simple. A, I liked it. B, I didn't like it. Very simple. Put it on Twitter. Send it at DSJMP. Calm, find it, and just send it.
No, we only want to hear like, we only want to hear that you like it. If you don't like it, fuck you.
Or you can always rate us on YouTube or on iTunes, for crying out fucking loud.
YouTube? You're going to rate us on YouTube, are you?
iTunes. Did I say YouTube?
Are we done yelling at all the listeners? Can we move on, please?
Yeah, they're assholes. I hate the listeners. What the hell?
So, best of the week.
Yeah. Best of the week. Mop yelling at all the listeners.
Doing the news, Mop doing the news best of the week.
I think his best of the week was at the race, getting rained out. That was fun.
Oh, Jesus Christ, let's not even start that. I'm tired as shit, let's go.
His best of the week was watching people drink Pat Blue Ribbon.
There was people drinking, but it was hipsters, so it's okay.
My best of the week this week was the... I really did enjoy that Divas segment that they had about the girls, about all the girls talking smack, and then they led right into the Bella versus Paige match. Bella's versus Paige match. Although I think it would have been a lot cooler if they would have had somebody come out and help her. It didn't even have to be anybody from NXT. It could have just been a girl. But I'm really liking the storyline that they're telling with the Divas. There you go. That's my best of the week.
All right, Mop.
My best of the week is actually probably it's going to end up being like my best of the year, too. Fucking John Cena. Can you think of another top guy in a company, like the top guy, like Austin, Hogan, that would do what he's doing with Owens and
Undertaker. Take
the beating? Undertaker was never like the guy,
I don't even think it's just what he's doing with Owens. It's that on top of he's the United States champion.
Yeah. But he is taking moves that he could say, no, I'm not taking that.
And he's
has a broken fucking nose.
I was listening to some of my old calls from last year around this time. I was actually looking for my Dusty call, because I wanted to roughly see when it was, because I couldn't remember when his birthday was. And I actually came across a point where I was talking, and this was end of last summer, I was talking about, you know, Cesaro was going to get a shot at the United States title, but is it too little too late? And I'm like, no, I'll stand for the United States title, because it's not, like, all this stuff's going on. I'm like, fuck! Look at the U.S. title now! It's fucking...
awesome.
I know.
Yes!
was going to say, it's competing with the heavyweight title.
With Cena as champion. Cena, people, like, the IWC can talk all the shit they want about Cena. But Cena can, no matter what he does, it's gold. Not everything.
He elevates it.
Yeah.
And it's not even he's elevating it through, like, doing bullshit. He's elevating it through work. Through work.
Real
he's
work.
He's putting real work in. He works every fucking show. He works every fucking pay-per-view.
It also took not just Cena having to go in there and put in that much work on things. It took them having to get rid of the WWE and the World Championship. They had to isolate to one main title in order for this to work the way that it's doing.
Yeah, I agree. But he's still putting work in there. He puts work in with everybody and gives everybody a chance to be on the main roster. And it's just, yeah, I agree, man. He's doing work.
Like I said, Hogan, you know, would not work with a new guy like that. Austin walked out and quit because they wanted him to work with Lesnar when he was new. So,
Austin, that's not 100% true.
That's what he says now.
Well, what he said was is that he wanted to work with Brock. He just didn't want Brock to go over on him on a non-pay-per-view event. They wanted him to go over on. They wanted Brock to go over him on Raw, and he said no.
He wanted to have a build towards it.
Yeah, he wanted to build. That's what his excuse is anyway.
Yeah, that's what he says now. Like I said, but
top
guys don't do what Cena does ever.
You're right.
The closest that we saw was Razor Ramon working with 1-2-3 Kid. Yes. That's the last time that I can think of a guy, an established star, working with somebody that was relatively new and getting them over as much as Cena is helping Owens. And trust me, Owens is helping himself. No discredit to him. But Cena is helping get him over real, real fast.
What about Hulk Hogan when Hulk Hogan laid down for the Big Show?
You're talking about WCW? That didn't exist. You hate WCW.
Oh, I just pulled it out. What do you want?
That's definitely another one that you can point
to. This is a PG show.
Andy, finally, it took you 4 hours, man. You made me laugh.
Well, my best of the week is DRG losing.
Whoa. Did you kick him again?
No, please, God, let him get it out there.
I kicked him off. All right, best of the week, Katie.
All right, well, I have a wrestling one and a personal one. I'll go with the personal one. My father's home from the care center.
Awesome.
He came home last Friday. We got here, we're going to have to wait for it, but he's home and he wants to drive, but he can't. He has to wait a little bit.
What? Tell him no, he's never allowed to leave the house ever again. What are you talking about?
You don't know my dad, so.
Oh, yeah.
I said.
Yeah, I'm sure. How old is he?
Like, well, he's 71.
Yeah. Trust me, I know guys like your dad.
This is a guy who had 5 bypasses like 8 years ago and was working on the car in a month.
Christ.
So that's why I call him Wolverine.
Oh, my God.
That's cool.
Yeah. Okay. So that's my personal one. I have my wrestling one. Well, I wanted to say Brock Lesnar coming back with Paul Heyman because I kind of miss them a lot. But I like Kevin Owens, too. He had good moments on Raw with the whole him powerbombing Machine Gun Kelly. I like that because he tweeted right before saying, oh, I'm a huge fan. I'm going to watch this. And I thought that was so cool.
Yeah, that should have been my best of the week, too. Powerbombing our artist.
Yeah, what was the last time an artist got involved physically like that?
Kevin Federline?
Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, that doesn't really count, dude. That was like one punch. I mean, come on.
The tweet by Owens was, now that I took care of Dolph Ziggler, I get to enjoy what I'm sure to be a wonderful performance by Machine Gun Kelly. I love that because that's foreshadowing.
Yeah, and it's sarcasm at its best.
All right, DRG, what is your best of the week?
Mine's going to be a little melancholy, a little bittersweet, but my best of the week is the
fact Wait a minute. Did Katie, you give me both of yours?
Yeah.
Okay.
My best of the week is the fact that Dusty Rhodes trended worldwide for over 8 hours in his passing. And the reason why that is my best of the week is because from a wrestling standpoint, most people relate Hulk Hogan as the iconic figure. But to see in this day and age that somebody like Dusty Rhodes, who meant so much to wrestling, trended for that long and was featured in so many mainstream news outlets in his passing,
it says a lot about the man as well as his body of work as an artist. And that was just very, very cool to see. One thing that we didn't talk about is replacing him in the promo stuff with NXT. But at this point, I don't think that there's anybody that we can replace Dusty Rhodes with. He was one of a kind and remarked so highly in the world.
I actually was thinking about that, and for whatever reason, Foley came to mind.
Mm. Foley would be a real good option. Mm. But Foley wasn't known for those, and he had his Kane Dewey stuff, and he had some of the stuff like the Three Faces of Foley. But Dusty Rhodes was one of those that everybody stopped and listened whenever he talked. And I wouldn't say that people did that more with The Rock or Austin than they did with Foley in that time period.
Heyman would be a good teacher, but he's more on-screen character now.
They might bring him in to teach. They may bring him in. I mean, Dusty was, it was Dusty's class at NXT training camp. That's what they said. Every Tuesday at 8 o'clock, everyone had to be in Dusty's class for promo time.
Exactly. You
know? And it's starting to finally show.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
From everything that is oozed through NXT.
Yeah.
And even people like Drew Galloway from his time there, you can see how much further along he is in his promo delivery than all the other people that you've seen on the indies out there, are people that TNA bring in. He's just, he knows how to own camera time.
They look so comfortable on the mic compared to a lot of other wrestlers, all those NXT guys. They instead of cutting those scathing, like, bro, what you gonna do, brother? You know, they speak, you know, they speak with their natural cadence instead of trying to be flamboyant and stuff, you know. They seem much more composed rather than trying to come up with some words. They seem like they're pulling more from their personality than anything else. It's a real testament to him.
I think Paige has been doing really good too with her
promos. I always thought Paige was good on the mic, but I just thought it was her natural ability.
Honestly, I think the biggest success story for him is Neville. From the point he was at Dragon Gate to now, it's not even the same person speaking.
No.
Yeah.
Not his Zelda lines, his playing into certain things instead of running away from him, that's 100% Dusty's influence, because that's what he made his career on, was not running or shying away from him being overweight, not running or shying away from being the son of a plumber, baby. You know, that, oh man. Like I said, the fact that his name was trending worldwide for over 8 hours on Twitter is remarkable for wrestling.
Best of the week, Mop.
You already got me. It was Cena.
Cena, Mop. Andy, do you want to actually do your best of the week now?
I'm not going to get cut off. It probably comes.
I asked you a question.
Sorry. Love you. DRG is going negative 11. Fuck yes. Yes. Yes.
How many points did Andy score this pay-per-view?
I didn't go minus 11.
How many points did Andy go this pay-per-view?
Hey, Andy.
That's not
Andy,
what I asked.
Andy, what place are you in? Okay, how many points do you have? 30? Okay, I've got one bet away from tying you. I would not be laughing about that.
And don't worry, he'll come up with some shitty, I'm going to pick the mat to still be there in place at the end of the match.
Hey,
yeah, because that's what I did on this one, didn't I?
Hey, DRG, how's my ass smell? How's my ass smell? Because since you're behind me, does it smell nice?
Rub it in.
A hell of a lot better than your voice, because that's all that I hear coming out of your mouth is bullshit.
So let's get this right. You finally had to put a bet on something other than, oh, Seth Rollins is going to retain.
Look at Elimination Chamber and see what my bets were.
You had Rollins retaining.
No, I didn't. I actually didn't bet anything in Elimination Chamber.
I don't remember. Sure. That was like 2 weeks ago.
You didn't bet anything.
You didn't bet anything.
Somebody's peeing again.
Not peeing. I just turned on the faucet and a cup.
You got a loud faucet.
Best, I know.
My best of the week is the new Brock Lesnar shirt.
I know. That's the first thing I
love that shirt.
I will be ordering it. It is already in my cart, along with the Primetime Player shirt. I'm just waiting for the right sale to pop up to buy them both.
Heavy is addicted to shirts.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. I love wrestling shirts.
We're all glad that you like shirts, too, by the way.
Bye. You didn't like my shirts last week.
The other day.
You liked them. They just liked them.
I
like
taking them all.
Yeah.
Yeah, how about
We went to Love so I could use a shower credit.
How about when you...
I know. We went to Hardee's so I could have your thick burger.
Where's my all-American thick burger, baby?
That, I'll say, that wasn't the only wiener on my burger.
I was saying he had a wiener between his buns.
Oh, geez. Somebody please end this fucking show.
God, yes, please.
I have to pee now.
Maybe the longest
great
show we ever
great put
up.
TMI, Katie.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think doing a guesstimation of how many shirts I have, I think I'm at 125, give or take. That's me guesstimating roughly where everything was. I could be up to 130.
How about when you do videos, you keep your shirt on then?
My name is Heavy Set, and I have a problem.
I like wrestling shirts. But what do you collect besides gay porn and dildos?
Besides that, that's all I got, man.
Triple H shirts.
He collects crosses upside down with Jesus burning on them.
Yes. I collect the blood of Jesus. So wine. I collect
the
wine.
He's a Satanist.
I don't really collect these anymore. I really don't. I don't collect anything anymore, to be honest with you.
Wow, nice. Whatever one of you that was.
I'm getting bored.
In this bitch.
Well, I collect wrestling shirts, and fuck off.
Fair enough.
All right, Katie, where can we find you at?
Sitting down, waiting to go to the bathroom.
Where you at, Ma?
Outside smoking. Goodbye.
DRG.
At MRDRG _WIR on the Twitter.
Andy Anderson.
You can find me in front of DRG on the points. How's my ass smell?
Yeah, never mind.
That is by the single funniest thing Andy has ever said.
You can find me, I don't know, driving on the roads, Heavy Set 330 and everything you can think of. And we will end this show with Devil Vamp. Where can we find you and give out all your plugs?
DSJMP.com, everybody. Come and join us.
Never heard of it.
Your Twitter.
Bye,
everybody.
Bye.
Have a great week in wrestling.
Later.
Hey, Devil Vamp. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.